Hello, this is Daryl Bigger, talking to you from Walla Walla University. My discussion companions today about the Bible study guide are Larry Viverka and Julian Melgosa. Larry is a longtime teacher in the School of Theology, presently a hospital chaplain, relief chaplain, and Julian is the chair of the education and psychology departments here on campus, the dean of that school. Julian is the one who wrote this quarter's lessons, and if you don't have a study guide, I encourage you to contact the local Adventist church for a free guide to this series of lessons on titled Jesus Wept. His companion book, Mental and Emotional Health, is available as well, published by Pacific Press. This week's lesson seems to me to follow on to last week's discussion about anxiety. This time we talk about stress. And the memory text is a favorite one of many of us believers. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened down, and I will give you rest. There are many times and many people for whom that is absolutely true. I want to start you out with a haunting reality that for some people it just doesn't happen that way. I sat in the home of a family member recently whose spouse had died, and they said they wished God had performed a miracle and brought relief, and he did not, that God had never done anything to help or to speak to them. How do we address this whole notion of taking our burdens to God when for some people it just doesn't seem to work?
Well, I have a bit of a perspective on this text. A companion text would suggest that we take the yoke of Jesus upon us, for that yoke is light and easy to bear. Mm-hmm. Jesus encourages us to take up our cross and follow him. And any of those notions, yoke, cross, can seem terribly burdensome and heavy and hard to do. But I think as I've thought this through, my cross is not my bad eyesight or poor hearing. It's my cross is to give my life as Jesus gave his life, for the benefit, the well-being of others. And I think if I could understand it that way, to carry the concern, the caring for others as Jesus' life represented, and as he invites me to take seriously that same burden, or to carry that as the primary reason for my existence, I think it does lift and buoy me up and give me a different sense of how to live or what living my life's about.
Last week it seemed to me that a corollary to our discussion about anxiety is that for some people they deny the real worries in the world and live kind of like Pollyannas. Everything is fine, and I just pretend mm-hmm. that there aren't real problems here. This week, we face the opposite potential problem, and that is to be so immersed in them that we don't know how to handle the stress. I'm intrigued by what you say, Larry, that it's a matter of learning what our cross is, what our yoke is that God gives us to carry, and choose to rely on him anyway. So we come back, Julian, to what you said last week, that we trust God. We learn to trust God, to give him our burdens. I know when our daughter was killed, that was a major lesson for me in how just because I'm a believer doesn't mean that I'm going to be rescued from all the difficulties in the world. In this world you will have trouble, Jesus says, but look at it through different eyes, because I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. So we live in a different reality. Do we still trust miracles to rescue us? Do we look for miracles, or is life just a series of natural events and consequences? We look for some future ultimate escape.
I have a whole personal story, but I don't want to take all kinds of time to tell it. But but I remember the very first act of faith for me was a very simple kind of thing that I think was a miracle. It was an answer to prayer as a six-year-old. And, you know, I wouldn't pray that same prayer now. Mm. And I've lived through a different kind of loss, the loss of my wife, the death of my wife. And the prayer that I pray, the way I talk with God, the way I relate to that loss, is incredibly different. I look at the Beatitudes as a kind of progression to go from that point of where we recognize our absolute poverty and emptiness to where God trusts us in the midst of the most difficult circumstances to reveal His love and goodness and care in our lives in the way we trust Him and live. Mm. And I think that's a growth progression for Christians. Mm. It moves from my trusting God implicitly and totally to His actually trusting me in a way to reveal Him.
Julian, in the study guide this week, you refer to the stories of Elijah. He's one of my favorite Bible heroes. Part of what intrigues me about his life is that the things I remember are all wrapped up in a comparatively short period of time.
Yeah, and that is an indicator of a stress. When a lot of things happen in your life in a short time, then is when you really feel it. And I think that was the case of Elijah, that had gone through a great deal of spectacular miracles and tensions and action. And then to top it all, instead of celebrating, then he gets a death sentence from Jezebel. And that is what sinks him into, you know, that state of despair. You know, he actually wants to die. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that kind of indicates some of the things that we need to you know, recover our mood that have to do with things that are simple, such as, you know, eating something, having a little bit of social life, doing exercise. And this is amazing when we read in the Bible the distance that he had to cover, 40 days and 40 nights to go you know, to Mount Sinai, and that is a great deal of exercise. And there is a lot of evidence. I have been preparing a book recently for retirement age, and I have found more evidence in the literature for physical exercise, for the benefits of physical exercise, than for diet or for anything else in current literature. And it's just amazing. I have the reference to a study that it was done by Robert Thayer in a book called Calm Energy. And one of the many, many references that he mentions there of his own research is the effect of a 10-minute brisk walk. He had people, you know, walking briskly for 10 minutes, and he measured their mood 30 minutes, 60 minutes, and 100 minutes after the exercise. And they all, during that time, still kept a better mood than compared to the people that hadn't done any exercise. Just 10 minutes of exercise could affect your mood for as long as 2 hours.
Yeah.
That, when you are stressed and when you are depressed, that you have the bit of energy that you have, you should use it to do physical exercise.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I compare that to the experience of Elijah, because it was the Lord that told him to do this, you know, and he had to walk a lot.
That was a long ways.
Even if his walk was away from the source of the problem.
Yeah, but he needed that at that time. Yeah. I see it like a personal treatment that he gets there.
Jesus' coping mechanisms with the stressful times in his own life intrigue me. We hear him after very, very busy days going away to be by himself, to pray, spend the night in prayer. Do you resonate with that?
Pretty hard.
Yeah.
When you are tired, you want to sleep.
Uh-huh.
But it's an amazing example to say, well, you are especially tired today, then you are not going to sleep as much. You are going to spend more time with your father.
Mm-hmm. Being out in nature, the time he spent was outdoors during those prayer sessions. His friends, relationships. Do you find that true with people who are feeling stressed in life, that being around other people is of help to them?
Well, certainly those who are extroverts draw energy from their being around other people. I mean, they come to the end of a weary day and they go looking for someone to talk to, whether it's on the telephone or in a bowl session in the dormitory or wherever. And some who are more introverted tend to seek out the quiet place of solitude. But I really do think there is stress reduction. I mean, work with married couples. Just the 10 minutes that we spend in a conversation with a spouse at the end of the day talking about the day is soothing. It's stress reducing. Mm-hmm. And that simple things like that really do help.
Mm. Yep, I agree. I just spent with my father-in-law recently a little time with a man who helped fill out some paperwork for us. And after going through page after page after page of this paperwork, I asked this gentleman, I told him actually that I hoped he was being paid for what he was doing. He said, "No, I'm volunteering." My word, I said, you spend every morning of the week down here just volunteering to do this? He said, "What else would I be doing? I'd be sitting at home." So to invest himself in helping other people, to reach out in that way, accomplishes a couple of things, I think. Not only does it make you feel good about yourself, but it takes your mind off of whatever it is that's stressing you, and you pay attention, Larry, as you said earlier, to what's right in front of you today. Mm-hmm. Sufficient for the day are today's problems. Yeah. I'm also intrigued with C.S. Lewis's comment that miracles are more likely to be seen by unbelievers than by those of us who are believers. That points, in my mind, to the reality that we know enough about God already to exercise some confidence and trust. And in Philippians, Paul encourages us to pray, remembering what God has done for us in the past. And in the context of those memories and the things we can do in a practical way, we can renew our trust and confidence in such a way as to see us through those miserable, stressful anxieties of life. I want to thank you, Larry Viverka and Julia Melgosa, for being with me here again. This is Daryl Bigger on the subject of stress for The Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.